up the body of Christ. We've learned that a strong church is made up of those who want to go a little further with God. One of their prayers and heart cries to God is, Lord, I want everything you have for my life. Jesus spoke to his disciples first. We saw that last week. And the disciples knew that Jesus was ministering to them, talking to them. It's not that Jesus was saying something different to one group of people and something else to another group of people. But he did have some things to say to religious people. He did have some things to say to those that were mocking God. He did have some things to say to those that had a form of godliness but would deny the power. And we have to remember that in order to be a strong church, the church has to be a spiritual church. One of the things that the Lord is dealing with me about is how the church, and specifically here in America, how the church has really become an unspiritual church. How the church has not only become unspiritual, but has very little reverential awe for the things of the Spirit. Now, of course, we have to be careful even in that, because we're not into getting over into hype and, all emotion and all the paraphernalia that goes from a fleshly, emotional type situation. Sometimes we have our flesh radar going, and we can spot those that are in the flesh. But you know, we cannot let that deter us from the fact that we worship a God who cannot be seen. We worship a God. Now listen to me before I read the scripture here to you. We worship a God we don't see. But every one of us that are here tonight believe that He is. We believe in the God that we cannot see. Well, let me take that another step. If we're going to worship God and be worshipers of God, then we have to recognize that God is a supernatural God. He's not a natural God. And when I use the word supernatural, that means above natural, beyond natural. Well, because God is a spirit, the Bible teaches us that we have to be spirit, or it is our spirit that must commune with God. Now, what happens many times is that people want to feel God, but they want to feel God through their emotions, through their flesh. A lot of times people gauge whether the presence of God is in a place by the fact that they get goosebumps or, you know, chills or something. But you know, if God is in us, then His presence is with us, whether we feel anything or not. Well, let's keep going a little bit. Because God is a supernatural God, and because we are spirit, that's what we are on the inside. That's the part that has that fellowship or that communion with God. Then God is going to communicate to us through His Spirit, by His Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Because sometimes we're waiting to hear God speak to us in an audible voice. But can I just tell you that God rarely ever speaks to a human being in an audible voice. He speaks to your spirit. He's not going to speak to those two little flesh things you got on the side of your head. You're not going to see God through those natural eyes on the front of your face. If you're going to hear God, you've got to hear Him in the Spirit. Amen. Your spirit has to hear God. Amen. Now, one of the measures of a strong church is that the church is a spiritual church. Now, let me read this passage of Scripture to you out of 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up of what kind of house? What are we building? We started talking about the measure of a strong church is a group of people, and you're here on Wednesday night, and so we can refer to you as the core group, or that bunch that wants more of God. Amen. I believe that's why you're here tonight. Yes. That's why you're not just here on Sundays or Easter or Christmas, but you will bring yourself out here in the middle of the week because you want to go a little bit further and a little bit deeper with God. If that's a fact, say amen. Amen. Okay, so we settled that issue. So now we understand if we're going to be a strong church, then we've got to grow and we've got to mature in the Word of God. And the Bible says right here that we're building up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, Romans 8:14, you can just write it down. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, to them, it says, they are the sons of God. So we have to learn, if we're going to be a Christian, and a productive Christian, a Christian that's going to bear fruit for the kingdom, and fruit that will remain, we have to learn, we're going to have to hear from God. How many of you would love to hear from God every day? But you're not going to hear God with your natural ear. You said, yeah, Pastor, but I thought faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What did I just say? It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'm speaking to you in human language. I'm using my human self to speak to you human words that were inspired by God. But you have to hear them with your spirit. The words that you hear are the words that will build and develop your faith to become strong. Okay? So, a strong church is a church that understands the supernatural. A strong church, the measure of a strong church, is a people who call themselves Christians that understand that God is a spirit and that what God does is supernatural. Now, we still have practical applications. It's not supernatural to raise your children. It's practical. But you're going to need the supernatural, the anointing, and the gifts and the grace of God in order to raise your children up in the ways that they should go. Amen. That's what we were talking about last night. So the measure of a strong church is one that learns to relate to God, listen to me, on a spiritual level. Now, I'm talking to you a little bit different than I would talk on Sunday mornings, but then I expect more of you. But you know what? God expects more of you. Where people and where Christians get into trouble is that they come to church expecting to hear God with their natural hearing. And it don't work that way. Are you with me? Yes. We've got to get a, you know, if you really examine how Jesus talked to the Father. The only time he talked to the Father in an audible voice was for the benefit of the humans that were listening. Jesus didn't go up on the mount and talk to the Father like I'm talking to you. They had a deeper relationship than that. But we have trouble communicating with the Father. We have communicating, allowing the Spirit of God to reveal to us the things of God, the Word of God, because we have a failure to identify that spirit man on the inside of us. How many know that you have on the inside of you a spirit that is created in the image and likeness of God? Amen. And when that spirit becomes born again, then it allows, if you will, an entrance by which the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, can communicate with your spirit. Now, a strong church understands that if you're going to commune with God, you're going to do it on a spiritual level. It can't be done on a fleshly level. Why do we close our eyes during worship? You ever thought about that? Well, there's several reasons, but the main reason is that you want to tune out everything that would be a distraction coming into your physical eyes. Why do we bow our heads when we give an altar call? Say, bow your heads and let's pray. Because we want to tune out the fact that we're trying to hear God from our flesh. If we're going to hear God at all, we've got to hear Him from the Spirit. What did He say? He said, you are living stones being built up, being made into a spiritual house. And for the most part, again, I think that the American church is transgressed into an unspiritual church. It's become more of a theater type, where it's about hype, it's about emotion, it's about thrills, it's about who can, you know, do this the best, who can sing the best, who can have the best light show, who can, you know, perform. But we're missing something very vital if we understand who the church is. You're focused up here on the stage. You're focused up on the man or the woman or whoever's up here bringing forth the word. But in essence, the church is you. And we're all called to minister. Every one of you are ministers if you're born again. Amen. Every one of you tonight have a unique purpose that only you can fulfill. That only you can fulfill. Nobody can do what you're supposed to do except you. You can't imitate. You can't mimic. God has called you. You are as different as the snowflakes, right? Everyone's got that unique DNA. No one is made alike. So, you experience and hear from God through your spirit. Did you get that? And if you're going to hear from God and you're going to walk with God and you're going to be led by God, then you're going to have to be a spiritual person. I didn't say some weirdo. I didn't say somebody walking, you know, through the cloud with their head up and, you know, become so unreal that you cannot even communicate with that type of person. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a person that understands if they're going to be strong and they're going to mature and they're going to grow, it's because they raise the level of the spirituality in the walk that they walk with God. You probably won't do it in one day. How many have learned that? You won't do it probably in 2 or 3 days or months or years. But it is a progressive walk. As long as you're walking in the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, walking by the flesh, you're walking toward and back to death and destruction in which you should have been delivered out of. Well, let's go over here. I say all this to you because really I want to talk to you about spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter, y'all sure are quiet tonight, but I know you're listening. Amen? These are powerful things that we're sharing. You can write down John chapter 4, verse 24. That's where it says, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? We need to pray and ask God to make us a spiritual church. Listen to me. That needs to be part of our prayer. Because when we're asking God to make us a spiritual church, we're asking God to make us spiritual people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at this. The measure of a strong church understands spiritual gifts. They understand the supernatural. Now, I realize a lot of you are new, and we were talking about this the other day. A lot of you are new to the Word of faith, the aspect of being a real Christian. Not one just in name. Not one in tradition. Or just to be in a religious atmosphere. Thank God you've been delivered from that. Thank God you've been delivered from that. But I want you to get the idea and picture that you are building a spiritual house. A spiritual house. Quit trying to serve God from your brain. Quit trying to worship God from your brain. Amen. Quit trying to hear God from your brain. I heard somebody on a talk show last night. Some actor, I think, wasn't it? I forgot his name. Some Hollywood guy. He said, well, I want to tell you something. I'm not a Christian, but I'm spiritual. I said, my goodness gracious. Yeah, you're spiritual, all right. Because the devil's a spirit too, amen? And you're either one or the other. So if you're not a Christian, then you're the other one, amen? All right. So Paul understood this, and this is why I'm teaching you these things on Wednesday night. I believe God is bringing us to another level because He does have a purpose for us. We're not here just to hype it up and, oh, we love to get emotional. We love to shout and dance and holler. But it's not about that. It's not about that. Here's what Paul taught. Now, look at this. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts. Do you see that? I'm reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, New King James Version of the Bible. And I would encourage all you new ones, you know, get your Bible. Get the New King James Bible because that's what we read mostly. We'll put other translations up on the screen through the computer that we have the software. But you need your own Bible. You need to see these things because as you read these things, that's where your spirit man is going to be open now so that the Holy Spirit can reveal to you what these words are. Unspiritual people read the Bible like they read a newspaper. Unspiritual people just read it black and white or red. Spiritual people read a verse or a passage and they chew on that They go back and reread that, and God says something else from what they just read. Then you go back and you can read it a week or two later, and the Holy Spirit can show you something else. Because the Word is inexhaustible. This is why God knows what every one of us need at every moment of the day. Remember, I asked you, how many of you would like to hear from God on a daily basis? Well, you're not going to hear God speak to you in a natural way. But you can hear God daily in a spiritual way. And Paul said something here. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now the word gifts there is italicized, which was put in there by the translator so that it could be a little easier understood. But you could read that now concerning spirituals, brethren. Spiritual. See, the measure of a strong church is one that not only understands the supernatural, but they understand that they have to progress to a spiritual walk with God. He said, what did he say? I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, apparently, he thought enough about having the ability to understand spirituality, that he stopped here and he began to teach on these things because he did not want the church to be ignorant. I think I've explained to you there's a difference between being ignorant and dumb. Ignorance is just you haven't learned something yet. Dumb is you don't have the ability to learn it. You have the ability to learn the Word of God through the Spirit. Everything is done through the Holy Spirit. Everything is done through the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit. So how can you be spiritual without the Holy Spirit? Now that's dumb. No, he said, I would not have you ignorant concerning these spiritual gifts. But yet, here we are, 2008 modern church, and very few Christians understand spiritual gifts. Now you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, you know that by the Spirit, but you also know that because people are not operating by the Spirit. They're not operating in spiritual gifts. Now, if I took a poll here, and you would be honest, you would be honest in church, wouldn't you? You would be truthful, wouldn't you? How many of you tonight know what your spiritual gift is? There's two or three. How many of you, be honest, how many of you do not know what your spiritual gift is? A lot of you raise your hand, okay. Now, if you know what your spiritual gift is, and some of you raised your hand, then the other question would be, is are you using it? Because you will be responsible. I will be responsible for the spiritual gift that God has given to me. I will be accountable. Now, we're not talking about going to hell here. Now, we're not talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and this is where we will receive, remember those weights of glory. This is where we will receive those crowns. This is where our star will shine brighter or dimmer when we get to heaven. This is now understanding, are we going to be a productive member of the kingdom of God? Now, what does it say? Because I want to come back to that point. Everybody say, productive member. You're here on Wednesday night because you're part of the core. You're the bunch that wants to go deeper and further with God. You're what Jesus referred to as the disciples. Okay? Now, what does it say? Let's read. He said, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning these spiritual gifts. He said, you know, and you can go back to how dumb idols are dumb. You know, they can't speak, they can't do it, they can't heal you, they can't do anything. But a lot of us worship them at one point, at time. Can I hear somebody say at least a weak amen? He said, you were carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. You just led around by whatever just led you. Devil had a, you know, like those bulls that have that ring in their nose. You know, you had the big old ring there and the devil just pulling on you. He said, he goes in verse 3, excuse me, and says, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Because it has to be a revelation. Now, you can say the words. Because anybody, you know, can learn to read, can say the words. We're not talking about saying the words. We're talking about speaking from our heart. Well, it says there are diversities of gifts. This is what we'll get in and we'll see here. There's different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Verse 5 says, there's differences of ministries, but it's the same Lord. So you got different gifts, and you got different ministries, or you could write in your Bible there, ministries is equivalent to service. Services. Service. And there are diversities of activities. But it is the same God who works all in all. They all come from God. And they all work through the Spirit. By the Spirit. It says, but the manifestation. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many? Now what does that mean? What does that mean? That means if you're here tonight and you believe that you're Christian, that you're saved, then he's talking to you. He's saying that each one, the manifestation of each one is given to you all so that the church can be built up, can profit. I don't think that needs a lot of interpretation. But in case it does, what do we call in our society, talking about American society, we live in America, what do we call a person that doesn't work, that doesn't provide, that just has to live off of? Now, I'm not talking about somebody, you know, who's had a tragedy. I'm talking about just a person that don't care anything about educating themselves, don't care anything about producing. What do we call those people? What do we call them? Well, there's probably a lot of things we call them. But really, they're unproductive people in our society. In the United States of America, the way you become productive is that you get yourself educated, you get yourself into a vocation, which is what you do as a profession, and you make money and you pay taxes. That is considered a productive citizen of the United States. That's why you better be led of the Spirit who you vote for. Because you may wind up paying a whole lot more if you get the wrong one in there. Now listen to me. I said all that to say this. How many Christians do we have in here tonight? Okay. Now, you have what we call dual citizenship. Not only are you a citizen of the United States, but you are a citizen of heaven. How many consider yourself a productive, using the description that we described, what a productive citizen is in the United States? How many consider yourself a productive citizen of these United States? Okay. But now you have a dual citizenship. Not only are you a citizen of the United States of America, but now you are a citizen of heaven. Now, what was our definition of an unproductive bum or low life or whatever y'all called it? All right. Then what about a productive citizen in the kingdom of God? Did you ever think about that? What constitutes a productive citizen in the kingdom of God? Is it somebody that just will not educate themselves? Is it somebody that, you know, won't produce, find their place, pay their tithe, give their offerings? How many of you are breathing tonight? I'm just trying to show you something, how people think about church, about what they are as a Christian. I'm serious. Take a deep breath. Maybe this will be better for you. Do you know why God let you breathe that breath? Because there is a purpose for your life. The only reason you're breathing right now is because God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. If not, then why breathe? If you don't find your purpose in the kingdom of God and become a productive citizen of the kingdom, I'm just telling you what a lot of pastors would like to tell the church people, but they don't tell them because they're afraid they'll leave. But I'll tell you. I'm just telling you. We have a responsibility to find out what God has called us to do. We have a responsibility. If not, then God would just go ahead and snuff us out, because we're not designed for this earth anymore anyway. Why do you want to hang around for? Why do you want to hang around for if you're not going to fulfill the purpose that God has called you to? Well, yeah, but I'm doing. Well, then you better re-examine. Are you a bum? Are you an unproductive person, a citizen of the kingdom that will not find your place and do your part? Oh, Pastor, you're talking to us now like you expect us to, hey. You say, well, I never thought of it. Now, like, well, that's the problem. You don't think. Let your heart, let your spirit, I mean, you need to find what you're called to do. Amen. Lest you do nothing. And if you're not going to do nothing, just pray the Lord kill you tonight. So you can go on and be. Now, I know people say that's hard, but listen, so you can go on and be in heaven. Yes. It's a whole lot better than here anyway.
Amen.
Are y'all seeing this? But if we're carnal Christians, well, you know, all we want to be entertained, and man, we want to show up there, and we want you to preach good, Pastor. So we have to come back to that place where everyone. I'll keep reading here next week, because I'm out of time. But I'm gonna tell you something. You're gonna find out that every one of you, we've all been given a measure of faith. Every one of us, it says, everyone. That's what my Bible says. Let me read it again, make sure I didn't miss it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Well, there are different gifts. I'm here to equip you. I'm here to teach, because that's my call. That's my gift. I'm here to expound the word to equip you to do the work of the ministry. If you're whatever you're doing, whatever your job is, you are a Christian first, aren't you? Whatever you are, you're a dental assistant, you're a teacher, you're a truck driver, you're a plumber, you're a Christian first. And if you're a Christian first, then that means God is first. The other stuff you do is just side job. It's just a side job. It really is. So you can put some bread on the table and have seed and, you know, so on and so forth. But it's just a side. But when you find what you're supposed to be doing, you'll find out that it's to encourage. It's to edify. It's to build up the church. We're called to be encouragers. Because there's a lot of people that need encouraging. See, you might have the gift of encouraging. You might have the gift of giving. You might have the gift of administration. You might have the gift of leading. You might have the gift of teaching. But you're unique. You have your personality. Don't try to be like somebody else. Don't try to even do it like somebody. But learn from somebody that knows what they're doing. And then use the gift that's unique to you to serve God and be a productive citizen in the kingdom of God. I think I'm preaching more tonight than I'm teaching you, but I hope you get this. I want you to stand up with me. I want to look at just one more scripture. Put up Matthew chapter 15. I was going to start with that one. Good thing I didn't. I didn't get anywhere near what... We all have something to offer the church. Can I hear an amen? Amen? We all have something to offer the church if we're part of the church. We're part of the church, and there's a spiritual side, there is a practical side, and there's the activity side in which we actually do what we're called to do. Spiritual side. All the gifts of the Spirit work by and through the Spirit. But how are you going to know what God has called you to do unless you're spiritual? Maybe God's called you to be an usher. That's a good gift. Maybe God has called you to be a greeter. And if you're a greeter, use the gift of exhorting. Use the gift of encouraging with it. Somebody comes in down, just say, "Hey, I'd like to shake your hand and welcome to the best church in the world." If you're down, you'll be up before you leave. You know, just use whatever's inside of you, amen. And let them know that we don't beat around the bush here. Amen. That we just, we love God. And here's what it said. Let me read this, and I got to stop because we're out of time, but. In Matthew, where did I want to read at anyway? I do. I hit my thing there. I didn't even know it. Here's what he said. Remember, we talked about hypocrites last week. How many of you don't want to be a hypocrite? That you live one life out there and you live another life in here. Now, here's what Jesus quoted from Isaiah. He quoted in verse 8. He said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart," I'm in verse 8, okay, I got it, "but their heart is far from me." Did you see that? "And in vain they worship me." How many of you don't want to be a vain worshiper? How many of you want to be a, can you play that thing, brother? Play it, play it, play it. Not loud, but play it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think we ought to just lift our hand to the Lord right now. Lift our heart.